This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Our NFL draft countdown continues. We're just 27 days away from round one kicking off, and this year the event will be held in Green Bay to help us talk about how the big boards are looking right now and also talking some Saints black and gold action. Sam Bruckhouse, who is a Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst and data scientist, also a former Tulane linebacker. Sam, thanks so much for joining us today. How's it going? Guess we lost Sam already here on the line. Great start to this one.
An inauspicious beginning to this interview. I think we should be able to get him back, but we'll find out. Did you see this thing on? And I want to ask Sam about this when we get him back. Did you see this thing on Tet McMillan? It's like this kind of like weird voyeur video about how he doesn't study film.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's not a good look. Not exactly a gas mask situation.
I got you. We got Sam back on the line.
We got Sam. How you doing, Sam? You back?
You can ask him about that right off the bat here. How's it going, Sam?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Hey, guys, I was listening in to y'all's earlier segment about the Grizzlies. I was just as shocked, but I was teaching a class at Tulane, actually, yesterday. I'm in for the book fair.
Nice.
And I was looking at their net rating, and they're under teams like the Timberwolves, the Clippers, the Warriors, the Rockets. And so maybe that projection went into the decision that despite having a better record than a lot of those teams, when it comes to the analytics, they're below them.
Yeah, but why not just ride it out to the end of the season if it's performance there? Like, that's the part that doesn't make sense. Like, yeah, you could have done the same thing and not kind of thrown the rest of your season into the wood chipper. You there, Sam?
We got to get Sam a cell phone deal.
Oh, no. What's happening? Is he okay? Maybe
the storms are rolling in and it's affecting service.
Maybe that's we'll find out. I think it might be an internet thing. My internet's down, so it could be us. Maybe we are destroying the connection.
Ooh, us?
No, we'll see. But yeah, so back to the Tet
McMillan stuff. Yeah,
it's kind of like this impromptu video of him kind of just sitting. It looks like the Arizona dining hall talking about how he doesn't really watch football and he doesn't really watch film, and it's not a great look. Sam, you there?
Yeah, I think I'm back now. Can you hear me now?
are you just driving through tunnels persistently? Is that what's going on?
No, I'm sitting in a hotel right now, so hopefully, I guess the Wi-Fi will get figured out or something, but glad to be with y'all.
Gotcha. We'll get it going. Sam, I'm just curious. Did you see this Tet McMillan video that's been circulating of him kind of saying he doesn't watch film and he watches it with his position group and that's about it? I'm just curious if you have an opinion on is that something that you think should sway opinions of teams at this point in the process when stuff like that comes to light?
Man, it's so tough because, number one, you look at the numbers and really no one is good at drafting. I work for a former Dirty Bird, Thomas Dimitroff, who was going up against the Saints years and years, and him and Mickey Loomis also are two of the better drafters, but they've been at it for a long time and they've been able to prove their philosophy over time, and that's why they were both so long tenured. Not everybody gets that luxury, and so it's difficult to pick up the secret sauce. Obviously, within a team, you want to know that everyone is trying their hardest, but when it comes down to it, I think Tet McMillan put his resume out there on the field. Maybe you train him up how to manage the media a little bit more, but it's difficult for me to say that he should just tank in April after he played multiple years at Arizona, was very productive there.
Yeah, it is a weird time because like we go from an entire year of watching the film and the film's the only thing that matters. Then you graduate to, oh, these numbers are the only thing that matters, right? Suddenly, oh, he runs that four, you know, does this thing that he's never going to do in a game, but he does it really well. So right. We get really excited and, you know, Will Campbell's arms measure at 32 5/8, but then wait, actually, they got the tape measure wrong. It's 33 inches. Suddenly he's a tackle again. I don't know. I guess, you know, how much, when you look at this process, do we take too much time looking at these measurables and not enough time going back and watching the tape? How do you kind of feel the process goes in that sense?
So I hate being the wet blanket, man. In fact, I've been thinking about it basically since the combine of why I kind of have to poo-poo some of these measurements and stuff like that. But like you mentioned, you know, talking about the 40 times of all these guys, it came up with Xavier Restrepo, slot receiver out of Miami this week. Like, we have software that can pick up how fast players are running
right.
just from his tape. And his tape has been there since, like, December at the least, at least since November. And he's been a kind of older guy. So we have multiple years of tape on him. So when a number is strange, we can go back and look at him actually playing. And obviously we want to ask a question about the hamstring. Maybe that comes up in a draft meeting, but that's probably salient information. But like you said, particularly with regards to LSU's Will Campbell, I was talking to his trainer, Duke Manyweather, on our Sumer Sports Show podcast, which you can get wherever you listen to podcasts. And he immediately, no questions asked, put, this dude's a tackle. He produced at the highest level from the time he was an 18-year-old at LSU playing against the best edge rushers in the nation at tackle for 4 years or 3 years. And so it's really kind of baffling when we start talking about quarters of inches of arm length being able to inhibit someone from playing a position they played for a long time and produce that for a very long time as well.
Sam, when you're looking where the Saints are in the NFL draft, the first round, having the 9th overall selection, man, there have been mock drafts all over the place. Early on, I felt like Tet McMillan was a popular pick. And lately now, I feel like the last two I've seen have Shedeur Sanders making it all the way down to the Saints at pick number 9. Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft had them selecting Jackson Dart. Just your overall feel of what you think will be on the board for the Saints at number 9 and where you think the black and gold should go.
So I've done two mock drafts now. The first one I tried to make a little bit more realistic of what probably actually will happen. The second one I tried to think, what if pressure starts bending some of these teams who really want to get a quarterback? And my true belief as it sits right now is that you're going to have to go up and get a quarterback really quickly. Because the quarterback pressure in this league is so high, and there's really two teams at the top in the Titans and the Browns who kind of hold the keys and may be willing to trade back. It seems like in recent days the Titans have really fallen in love with Cam Ward. At least that's what reports are saying. But I think in order to go ahead and go get a quarterback, you're going to have to get in that top 3 to 5 range, or else you'll have to reach on a Jackson Dart, a la the Falcons, you know, pulling Michael Penix all the way up to a first round pick. So I think you probably will have to spend assets to get into the top 5 picks to get a quarterback. There's the answer for that right now. In terms of the Saints, there's a lot of needs. I think Tet McMillan would fill a need. We saw the state in which the Saints wide receivers were in midseason after some injuries. They do have two guys that are revered in the community of, you know, really being productive guys, Olave and Shaheed, but injuries have saddled them. And I just think you gotta look at rebuilding that defense. Right now, I think Will Johnson may be a pick. That's my pick currently of who I think they may go with if the cards fall with quarterbacks going early. I think that's an excellent cornerback who could fit well into new defensive coordinator Brandon Staley's scheme.
Yeah, you know, this draft reminds me a lot of 2016. And, you know, not only because that was the year the Titans did trade out from number 1 overall, but even the quarterbacks in general, you know, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, kind of feels like there's some polarization in the within those two quarterbacks, the way that I feel like there's some polarization on the top two this year, whether you want to say it's Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders or whatever. I feel like we all agree Cam Ward is that guy and the guy behind him. You know, so what do you I mean, what would you be doing if you were the Giants right now? Like sitting there with 2 1-year deals and you know, a coach that feels like he's on the hot seat, a GM that feels like he's on the hot seat. Would you be going up and getting one of these quarterbacks, or would you be sitting back and saying, "Yeah, I'll wait till next year"?
So this is where analyst Sammy B disagrees with kind of the political Sammy B a little bit, because analyst me wants to say, if you don't got the quarterback situation figured out, then you are in hot water. And they've already kind of taken two shots, Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, two players that have shown that they can be productive in this league, but for whatever reason have fallen out with really impressive coaches. You think about Jameis and Russell, both of those guys have fallen out with Sean Payton, Pete Carroll, Mike Tomlin. Like, these aren't Joe Schmo coaches. These are guys who are Coach of the Year candidates every year. And so there's obviously probably limited upside with those guys. We know who they are. I think you just go ahead and take the shot on a quarterback at 3 and maybe consider trading up if you really like Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. But they're also in a good position now, having two veteran quarterbacks, to probably wait if they do like a guy like a Jackson Dart or a Dylan Gabriel or a Jalen Milroe, who they can probably get in the second or third round. They're probably positioned to do that. But I think if I'm them, you know, a quarterback is probably analytically the best place for them to go day one or day two. Now, politically, I don't know about that. Obviously, you have it set up with the veterans. You could probably go in and feel okay. And a little known fact about them was their defensive front was actually quite good last year. We're talking about Bobby Okereke, Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, Kevon Thibodeau. These are all big names, and they were one of the better teams in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback last year. With a couple of tweaks, they may be able to have a good defense. So I think the options need to be either go with Travis Hunter at 3 if you can't get pick 1 and 2 a quarterback, and quarterbacks do go 1 and 2, or figure out some way to address a third quarterback into the quarterback room.
One player that's been, I feel like, all over mock draft boards and really curious to see where Ashton Jeanty ends up out of Boise State. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks, you know, had connections with him to the black and gold just because, obviously, the head coach, Kellen Moore, was a Boise State guy as well. There's a little bit of a need there running back. I hope this team doesn't go that direction, though, in the first round of this draft, at least. But just curious for you, where do you think a guy like Jeanty slots in the first round?
Yeah, we had a great conversation on our SiriusXM Sumer Sports show, which I think may be finishing up right now, but you can get it on demand on the SiriusXM app. And we were discussing today when we were recording really what the value of a guy who has the perfect resume, which Ashton Jeanty pretty much does have. And I got to give you kudos for picking up the 2016 draft, because that was also the draft that Zeke Elliott was in, who had a pretty perfect resume as well. Here's the items that are really key from the process analytical perspective. The first is, if you are drafting a running back in the first round, he will be paid as one of the best running backs in the league. That's just the way the market works. He needs to be a guy who immediately is in Pro Bowl conversations, and that's very hard to hit on in the draft, and it causes a lot of problems, and that's why a lot of teams wait to the second or third rounds. The second item is you probably only got the first 3 to 5 years to get maximum effort at them. We saw the Steelers move on from Najee Harris. The subset of guys who have been able to contribute long-term is very limited. You can only think of like maybe 3 or 4 in the league right now: Kamara, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry. After that, it starts getting a little questionable of those older guys. And so those two things make the running back position so uncertain that I personally wouldn't feel really good drafting especially anyone not named Ashton Jeanty, and including Ashton Jeanty in the first round as an analyst.
Yeah, fun fact, when the Titans traded that pick in 2016, one of the picks they got was number 45 overall, which they used on the pride of Alabama, Derrick Henry. So anyway, just saying, if you want to keep going back to that 2016 draft. But, you know, I do find it interesting. A lot of people said, like, hey, Kellen Moore found out firsthand that if you have one of those superstar running backs, you can go win a Super Bowl. And my response to that is usually, well, Kellen Moore found out firsthand, if you go sign the superstar running back from the team that drafted him and failed him for 5 years, 6 years, yeah, that's a much better scenario. The Bucs found that out too with Leonard Fournette. So, and I kind of feel like that my philosophy on running backs is, like, if you are a playoff team plus star running mm-hmm. back, you can elevate to a Super Bowl team. If you are a bad team plus superstar running back, you are just a bad team with a superstar running back.
Yeah, I think what Kellen Moore probably learned the most is that it's great to have two all-pro tackles on your team.
Yes,
and so I think
true. His
evaluation of the young tackles, Talese Fuaga and Trevor Penning, is going to really direct the way that the Saints go in this draft, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, and how he wants to operate this offense as well.
Back with that tackle conversation, curious how you feel with the rankings. I've seen some folks believe that Armon Membu is actually a better prospect than Will Campbell from LSU, and just curious your thoughts on that one.
So, again, we had Duke Manyweather on. We asked him all these questions. I personally love the production of Campbell, and this is just a guy that you can put on an island. A lot of dropbacks from Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier in that offense. A lot of him having to protect for a long time. I personally think that you can probably address the left tackle position by getting Will Campbell. Membu, on the other side, is probably a true right tackle, a guy that you'd be looking at, an athletic profile that looks like a Penei Sewell or something like that. I'm a little more questionable of his production than Will Campbell. So currently, I think Campbell's probably good. A guy who's gotten lost in the shuffle, though, Kelvin Banks. He played for Steve Sarkisian. A lot of people think that Steve Sarkisian out there at Texas, people forget that he was the offense coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons. That's an NFL pro-style system that he's running out there at Texas. And I think Kelvin Banks is a guy who's kind of fell a little bit, but I feel like he has some juice at left tackle as well, having played at a school like Texas in the SEC. I feel like he may be a guy who ends up sneaking into kind of the top 15 as well.
Top tier info from you, Sam. Appreciate it. What can folks find out at Sumer Sports right now they should go check out?
Yeah, so check out our podcast, the Draft FM podcast, the Sumer Sports Show. Two podcasts I'm on. You can catch them wherever podcasts are. And also check out sumersports.com. A lot of great information that we're writing every week.
Appreciate it, Sam. Be talking to you soon. Have a great one, man.
Thanks for bearing with me on the phone troubles.
No worries.
Thanks,
at all. Sam Brookhouse, former Tulane linebacker, also Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst and data scientist, joining us right there. We'll talk to him more before the NFL draft kicks off.